What's great about God's word is that it's always for me. I hope you treat it like that and think about it like that. That God's word, you might say, well, he's used to talking to teenagers. What would God have for me? God has something for you every single day. And especially when we're gathered around his word, he gives us promises like, if two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. That's a promise I should claim. I want to claim every time God's word is open and we're looking at it together that he's right here. He wants us to learn things out of his word. And it doesn't matter whether you're saved as many years as Brother Daniel or you just got saved last week. That's the same promise to every Christian. And that's the marvelous thing about the Christian. I'm happy I never arrived. You know that? I want to press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, I'm glad that not glad in a wrong way, but that means that every day in every life of the Christian, Jesus has got something more for me to learn or something more for me to do or some way he wants to use me or some way for me to learn from him. So I never arrive, and so that's why, you know, even though you got the teenage teacher out here this morning, the Lord still has something for you. And now the subject of this lesson is even quite interesting to me because when Pastor said he said this is going to be the week and would you study for whatever the lesson is, it turns out very ironic that today's lesson is going to be the preacher of the first century church. Now, the reason I think it's interesting is because at work, I'm called a database administrator. They said, hey, could you give a little talk on what a database administrator should be? I would feel kind of awkward, right? Because talking about, that's something I'm already hoping I'm doing. So I thought it was a blessing. The Lord said, you can have a Sunday school lesson about the preacher. Now, what it's said about in the Sunday school lesson is as soon as you announce that, please make sure that everybody usually turns the volume down. And just to mention, if it was just, I say it kind of lightheartedly, but if it was just a message about the preacher, and some people just go, oh, that must be from Pastor White. We could just meet in your office, and it wouldn't matter. That's not what the idea of is Sunday school. We're having a message about the first century church. A lot of them have been. I asked my Sunday school class, I said, what do you think about, why would we have a message about studying the first century church? We all just kind of went, I don't know. Did they have Wi-Fi? You know, we came up with things like that. How would they know what to do? Well, they knew a lot what to do. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. We've got all this technology. We've got all these things. And it seems like the archaic first century church was able to accomplish a lot. I say archaic like this. They turned the world upside down. They reached the whole world. I believe they reached everyone that could hear the gospel. They did that without a website. Without a car, you know what? But they had God. And that's what we need in our life today. We're in the 21st century, but if we try and do things without the Lord, we are just doomed for failure. Now, when I looked at the title of the Sunday school lesson, I kind of thought a little bit about Pastor Thompson. And I remember when I was at HBI, Heritage Baptist Institute. They have a school there for studying and things like that. Several people in our church have been there and stuff. So I was thinking about one night Pastor Thompson was teaching a class, and he said, now listen, fellas. He'd always call them boys or fellas or, you know, a lot of guys. I was a little bit older, but a lot of them were, you know, right out of high school. And some of them, many people that are even the missionaries we support and things, they were my co-students back then, and you think fondly back to some of those days. And Pastor Thompson, I remember him saying, now fellas, now maybe you're going to be a missionary, maybe you're going to be a pastor, but you know what? You're going to find out quickly that you can't get everything done that needs to get done. To me, it kind of hit me. I kind of thought, you're running 2,000 people in this church. It'd be really hard to do everything. That would be a lot for one person to do. And he said, so you're going to have, that means by definition, you will have a list of things that you don't get done. There is a list of things to do, and on that list are a list of things that don't get done. And he looked us all right in the eye and he said, out of all the things that are on that list to get done, there is one thing that does not go on that list. Preaching. That never doesn't get done. And it's just funny, I got this in my notes, I was going to talk about this. Our own pastor's life respects that completely. I'm very busy doing other things, but the thing that will not get neglected is the preaching of God's word. And I'm excited. When I come to church, you know, I'm a little out of You don't know that I'm out of order, but this is a later thing for me. I'm a little out of order, but out of order in my sermon notes, hopefully not out of order and that we're trying to do things decently and in good order. But when I was at a funeral just a couple months ago, there was a guy that was running the service, and it was a blessing being there, okay? They didn't have the same color chairs as us, and they did some things a little different. But one thing that caught my attention is they say, you might notice that none of us have our sermon notes with us. We want to be led by the Spirit. We don't prepare. We just let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, and we get up and hear and preach. Now, they definitely knew God's Word. You could tell that. They knew the Lord's Word, but I just didn't think that was accurate with how I've been raised and things I study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. If you get up and preach or teach, if you're in a Sunday school or you're in a Bible study or you're with others, you know, you should study. The Lord tells us to study. So I'm glad to say that I come to a church where the preaching of the Word is paramount. We do a lot of things around here, but I always feel like, that's where I want to be involved in. I want to be involved in a church where the preaching of God's Word is on top. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, preach the Word. He told him a lot of things, but one thing he told him was, preach the Word. Now, this Sunday school lesson isn't on pastoring, it's on preaching. That would be a whole different topic, pastoring versus preaching the Word. He told Timothy to preach the Word. Brother Larry, can you see me when I'm trying to get over this pole. I'm not hiding behind it. Well, when he said preach the Word, did you ever think about, you know that thing that they say, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, did it really fall or did it make a noise and all these kind of silly questions? If he told Timothy to preach the Word, I think it's obvious he wasn't going to be going out into a woods preaching to no one. And so preaching, you might say, a Sunday school lesson on being the preacher, that's got to be for the pastor. That's his main job. That's for him. No, he told Timothy to preach the Word, and that means if he told Timothy to preach the Word, don't I need to be a good listener? He wasn't preaching to no one. He told him to preach the Word, and by implication, the idea is that I need to be a good listener. Now, I want to say a few more things about this idea of the preacher of the first century church. We've seen it happen before, you may not be at Grace Baptist Church the rest of your life. You know that? You know, I was somewhere before I came here, and if I don't get, I could get raptured out of here for sure, then we'd all be gone. Praise the Lord, right? But your job might move you, circumstances might move you, those kind of things can happen. One reason to pay attention to what we're studying and out of Apollos' life, is that if I go somewhere else and I'm looking for a church home where I want to go, there's some things I should be looking for. And on that list isn't whether the pastor wears really like pastels or plaids or something like that. I want something substantive. Our pastor's good looking. That's just a bonus. Amen? I should get an amen on that one. But what I'm saying is that when the Word of God is preached, the idea is that I'm supposed to be a hearer of the Word of God. There might be a young person in here. Jacob could be a preacher someday. You know that? Wouldn't that be a blessing? We say, hey, I remember when Jacob came to our church. He was at Grace Baptist Church, and the Lord used him to be a preacher. Now, I'm not living vicariously through other people, but I'll say that learning about preaching is very important to every one of us. Maybe a young man here called to be a preacher someday and want to see some of the things that were in Apollos' life for being a preacher. Another thing is that it make us love preaching God's Word more. When we see some things out of Apollos' life, I'm hoping in the next half hour the next 24 minutes, that we will be absolutely more in love with the preaching of God's Word. So that's a too long of an introduction. I hope you're in Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And I am going to develop a little bit more of a point that wasn't quite in the Sunday school lesson, but I think it's important for all of us. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Now, my ignorance, I'm just going to say, I never thought much about Apollos. If I said, hey, tell me what you know about Apollos. Well, for me, a thumbnail would be, oops, that one outweighs me. That thumbnail holds more knowledge than I have about Apollos. I would have come up with one verse. I remember that one where Paul said something about Apollos watering. That'd be about the extent of my Apollos studying. You're like me, a little embarrassed. Now's the time to bolster up your Apollos studying, not so much for Apollos personally, but that he was a preacher in the first century church. We want to learn some things from him. So Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Now, please keep your mark in Acts chapter 18 and turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And just to look a little bit more about Apollos, because, you know, there's a lot of characters in the Bible. Most of the characters in the Bible, most, I don't know what percentage, but most of the characters in the Bible, we frequently learn things that we're not supposed to do. You know, Jonah isn't our example of how we want to, you know, I'm sick of those Ninevites, okay? That is not what we want to do. We learn a lot of things not to do in the Bible. There's a lot of warnings in the Bible. Judas, we're not trying to study his life. So I want to say a couple things about Apollos just to anchor down a little bit of what the Lord says about Apollos. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read a couple select verses. Verse 4, it says, "For one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal?" And there's a simple thing being taught there. We're not supposed to have our eyes so much on each other. That's not where our focus is supposed to be. Our focus is on the Lord. And when we look to the Lord, He'll bring us together. That's how that works. He says, "For then is," in verse 5, "who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man." And then in verse 6 it says, there's my famous verse there. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." The preaching has got to be about Jesus. It's got to be about the Lord. It's got to be about the Holy Spirit. This is where our focus needs to be in preaching. And praise the Lord, that's exactly why I've been to this church. For me personally, and enjoyed those blessings. That's what the preaching is always about here. In 1 Corinthians 16:12, Paul writes and says, "Is touching our brother Apollos." Now, I think Apollos gets... How would you like to be in that list? Somebody Paul wrote about. One time when I was in the Philippines, I'm in the back seat, because I know those verses about don't go in the front and then getting called back. I'm in the back seat riding in the car. Maybe not many know this name, Ed Lorena, with a man named Ed Lorena, a pastor doing an unbelievable work in the Philippines. Just incredible. I've never been to such a yearning field as that. So Ed Lorena, I think he's driving. Pastor Thompson is sitting next to him. And then, I forgot his name already. Larry Clayton. Sorry. So the three of us, these are the three people, and I'm the fourth person in the car, and they're going along, and I don't even remember what they were talking about, to tell you the truth, and I'm riding along. It's kind of like one of the nursery workers riding along with, you know, like maybe the greatest preachers in the world. You know, I'm in the car and I remember riding along and kind of thing. They were talking about, you know, some of the schedule of the week and some things out of God's word, as you'd expect. And I'm riding along with these three guys. These are like my heroes. And I thought, wow, if ever a good time for the rapture, this would be such an awesome time I'll be with these guys. But, you know, I know that isn't biblical. I know every man will give an account of himself to God. But the reason I say that to you is, look at Apollos and how he is, the list that Paul puts on him. Apollos watered, Apollos our brethren. He was a very, so when we, what I'm saying is when we're studying these verses out of Acts chapter 18, Apollos is a very elevated character in the Bible. And so we want to see some of the things that are in his life. Paul gave him a great reference. We want to see the things that are in his life and apply them to our life. Now, I'd like us to also, this is the part I wanted to develop that isn't quite in the Sunday school lesson. So far, and if you're not careful, you'll feel yourself saying, well, I hope Pastor White is paying attention to this message, because this is about preachers and stuff. And I'll say that it's not that unusual to think like that. I want to establish a fact, though, that when we're talking about preaching, that it could, yes, it could apply to me, okay? So let's turn, keep your place in Acts, but then also turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 15. And this is the familiar account of the maniac at Gadara. That's probably familiar to you in the whole story and how he was just an untamed man, unruly. But I want to look at Mark chapter 5, verse 15. This is towards the end after he comes to his right mind. So Mark chapter 5, verse 15. And please, the idea of this, reading these verses, is to think about the word preacher. Where this Sunday school lesson is not the pastor of the first century church, it's the preacher of the first century church. So in Mark chapter 5, verse 15, it says, And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. That's the rest of the people in the town. And they saw, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that was possessed with the devil prayed him that he might go to be with him. There's a lot of hymns, there's theys there. This is what's happening. The maniac at Gadara, he's sounding in his right mind. He used to sit in the caves, scrape himself, break chains apart. He was you'd almost call him a barbarian, animalistic. The Lord comes to him, and guess what? A life is changed. Every single time that Jesus shows up, a life is changed. So the maniac of Gadara, is asking, Jesus is the other he, I want to come with you. I want to stay with you. I want to go with you. You changed my life. Please let me come along. I want to go. That's an honorable goal. That's what he was in his right mind. When you get saved, I hope that's what happened to you. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be close to the Lord. I want him to do what he wants me to do. So that's what he says to Jesus. Verse 19 is interesting. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. So the Lord says, I want you to go and tell somebody else what I did for you. You could have a whole message about that. Go tell somebody else what you did for me. You know, when I got saved, I don't know whether it was that night, Sunday night, or the next day, I just started calling people I knew and say, you're not going to believe what Jesus did for me. I've been going to this Bible study. The Lord convicted me that I'm a sinner. He convicted me. A sinner, that isn't so arguable. Can someone not? I did it. It hurts my mind when somebody says I'm not a sinner. But here's the part that was revealed to me. My sin will send me to hell. And I haven't been able to sleep for weeks. I go to bed and I think, what if this is my last day and what if I'm not saved? I always had this maybe I did the right thing before and just didn't understand what I did. Like hoping for nothingness, hoping for God gives us promises about everlasting life. And I'm sitting here as an unsaved thinking, well, I wonder if I ever got saved because, man, that's a bad place to be, not saved. And the Lord saved me. He in his mercy, a blasphemer, a man that used God's name in vain, a man that only wanted what made Paul Becker happy, a man that lived his all life for himself. The God of this universe spoke to my heart and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? I couldn't sleep. I couldn't function. It just got to be in my mind all the time, what happens if I die tonight? So I'm standing down in Columbus, Ohio, and a man shares with me the gospel. He's got a sign that says, Jesus is Lord. And I said, man, I mean, there's I don't know how many people run that race. Thousands. They're like blocks around you. They're back blocks up the street waiting to take off in this race. And I'm standing next to this guy out of all these thousands of people. Anyway, that's the time when I got, that's when I got saved. How much Bible doctrine do you think Brother Becker had at that point in his life? Ready to decipher between the Old and New Testament? I'm not ready to do that right now, okay? So I got saved, and guess what? Do you think I better learn my Bible and find everything out about what's in that before I better talk to anybody? No way! I got on the phone, I said, I'm a sinner, and I was headed for hell, and Jesus came in my life and changed me. That's all. That's what the Lord asked that maniac at Gadara to do. Go and tell thy friends what I did for you. Now, that's not a place to live, okay? That's a sad story. You've been saved 40 years and say, I don't know any Bible verses, but I know what Jesus did for me. Well, one of the things he did for you is give you the Holy Spirit. You don't want to live contrary to him. Then you want to know his word. Otherwise, you're going to be, there's lots of spirits in this world. So he went and told the maniac of Derry, he said, you go tell other people what I did for you. In verse 20, it says, and he departed and began to... Oh, I forgot one of my intro things. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. You see that word publish? Just pretend like you didn't hear it. The word preach is normally translated preach, preacher, preaching, but sometimes it's publish something else. Anybody got a guess what that word is? Publish. Great. That is awesome. This is the same word that's used to be preaching and preacher and getting out. It's the idea of publish. Preaching is telling someone else, publishing, you know, we have publishers, telling someone else what Jesus did for you. It says, though he was going about the first century church, even though this was a preacher in the first century church, God was telling him, I want you to go back and tell them what I did for you. Now, if you ever thought about, you probably have, but you ever thought about what kind of situation? I would have been much more of that maniac when he was in his right mind. I want to go with you, Jesus. Not like a lucky charm, not like good things have happened to me since I've been with you. Not like that, but what if somebody changes your life? I'll never forget Bobby Hoyt. He's the guy that was instrumental in getting me. I don't know the guy's name that had the sign. It's funny, you don't know the guy's, the maniac at Cadera. That's his name for the rest of his life. It probably was... Do we have any Steves? It was probably Steve, but he doesn't. He was a maniac, and God changed him. Now, did you ever think about the situation Steve's going back into? The townspeople there said, please get out of here. We've lost, I don't know how many thousand dollars of pigs. You're lucky we don't try and execute you right now. You made all those pigs jump off the cliff. And the Lord says, I want you to go back and tell them. I wonder how receptive they were going to be. It's probably the exact opposite of Jonah. I'm not going to Nineveh. They don't want to hear anything. I know they don't want to hear anything. There's a great revival. We don't hear much more about the town that the maniac goes back to, but I'm thinking it's not a really pleasant environment. Well, you're going to start getting us some more pigs? We lost all those. Remember you? And you were in that cave all the time. We tried to calm you down. You got a chain bill. You got a pig bill. You scratched up and bit our kids' bill. He's in a bad spot to go back to that place where he came from and tell other people about Christ. Oh boy, you know I'm in my intro right now. I love God's word though. I just love it. It isn't how much you get through; it's what you get across. So this maniac at Cadera, he goes back to those townspeople and he just tells them what Jesus did for them. And he had it kind of hard. You know that? I don't think that was like the Philippine field I saw where everybody almost said, hey, what? I saw that guy get saved. Can you tell me what he did? I want to know more about it. It wasn't like that. We lost all of our pigs. We lost all our chains. We lost our money. He would have been the one that nobody wanted to talk to or befriend. Or if you're going to say something, it'd be mean. He put himself in a situation that wasn't going to be that good. You know that? Jesus tells him to go back to the town where you were. Go back to those people. He didn't tell him to go anywhere else. a nicer place to be than going back there, I would presume. You know, it's going to cost him something to tell other people about Christ. You know that? It's going to cost him to tell other people about Christ. If your gauge or your measure of whether I'm going to preach and tell other people about Christ is whether it's going to cost you, you'll never do anything. It's going to cost you to tell other people about Christ. It's going to cost you probably your time. You're going to consume some of your valuable talent, and it's going to cost some of your treasure. That's what it's going to cost you to tell other people about Christ. Oh, I'm always trying to weigh that out. How about weighing out I don't have to be in hell for one day? You're going to say, you know, soul winning sounds like kind of a difficult ministry. I don't know if I'd really like to be in the soul winning ministry. You know, I'll never forget last winter when should we go soul winning? Should we not go soul winning? The weather was nasty last winter. Of course, Mrs. Wyatt made it here. Mrs. Wyatt made it here. Think, what's wrong with me? What am I thinking about? The weather's bad. Mrs. Wyatt's here waiting for me. It'll cost you to go soul winning. It'll also be a blessing there. You know that? Every time you go, you're going to find a blessing. He tells them, go and tell other people. I got a simple observation about this thing. How much soul winning are we going to do in heaven? Goose egg. This is our only time to go soul winning. You know that? This is the only time to tell other people about Christ. It won't matter. Our life is a vapor. Here's Sarah, this tall, right? Our life is a vapor. You only have so much time to tell other people about Christ. We should be busy about our master's business. Now, if you, like me, went to look at I said, I want to be a soul winner. And so I found somebody at the church that I was at that was a soul winner. I was blessed to be with probably the greatest soul winner I think I've ever been around, Brian Starr. And he took me under his wings. And, you know, since I had been saved for about a month or so, I figured I'd help him out with some basic doctrine. I said, you know, I've finally reconciled a big problem in the Christian circles. And he's driving his car. What's that, Brother Becker? I said, you know how... Now, pay close attention. You got to follow my logic here, Brian. You know how one day is 1,000 years with the Lord? You know that verse about that? I said, yeah. He goes, and you know how some people think the earth is millions of years old? And I said, you know how at our church we kind of preach it's only 6,000 years old that God said and he spoke it into existence? I finally reconciled it. What happens is those days that God counts as one day is 1,000, and it just, that means that 1,000,000 years could just be down to 1,000 years. And so everybody's right. He's driving along. You know, maybe when we read these verses, you said, I know what my theme verse is going to be. It's going to be verse 26, where it says, and he began to speak boldly. This is a policy. Began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom Aquila and Priscilla had heard, and they took unto him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. He had only known about the baptism of John, and he shared some things. You know what? You should longingly want to help a young Christian. You know, Brian could have said, get out of the car. It's still moving. Get out of the car. He could have said a lot of things to me, but he just kind of shook his head and took me along. He realized I wanted to go soul winning, and I might not have had everything all figured out. You know what? I got a newsflash for you. Brother Becker doesn't have everything figured out right now. I'm grateful for his mercy that he showed me and kept taking me despite myself. I'm going to close with my last introductory reference. So there's no sense in holding your place in Acts. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We'll study about Apollos some other time. I'm sure we will. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Now, when I wanted to go soul winning, this is something you're going to learn about, the Romans road, right? There is no way a soul winner goes without the Romans road. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then look at this next verse with me, would you? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, right? How shall they hear without a preacher? Man, I've heard that echoed from so many pulpits. How will they hear without a preacher? You know who the audience was for this message? It's Paul lamenting how much his heart is for the Jews. There's one answer to this question who Paul is writing to and talking to. It's in Romans chapter 10, it's in verse 1, and it's the first word. This is the audience that Paul is talking to. Brethren, not for the preachers, for the brethren. If Pastor White's got to win the whole city to North Ridgeville, 168 hours a week, forget the sleeping, there's no chance. And that's not God's design. God's design is that each and every one of us tell somebody else what the Lord has done for him. Just like the maniac of Gadara. There's a lot of things that Apollos did. You'll have to look at them some other time. He was a great man of God. He was humble. You know, it was basically two tent makers coming up to Apollos and saying, I want you, you're missing something in your message. They took him, they nurtured him, they loved him, they encouraged him. He said, but we want to tell you about grace. All you know about is John's baptism right now. They took him and they nurtured him. And you know what I see in Apollos by that? He learned from every single person the Lord put in his path. He would be like a 10 times doctorate degree, having learned and mighty in the scriptures. And here's these couple tent makers. Hey, Apollos. You're missing something. You know what the important thing to me is? And one of them, just to say it nicely, one of them a woman. Well, they weren't allowed to preach in the temple or do things like that. They have a lot of things to do, but that's not what this is about. A woman is telling Apollos, you know, you're missing some things in your message. Apollos could have reacted a lot of different ways, but you know what he said? You're right. He learned from them and he moved on. The Lord puts people in your life so that you're always growing the Lord, always growing grace and the knowledge of the Lord.